I never knew a love like this before. Here's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And welcome back to the Computer Corner. It is a love thing when it comes to taxes, isn't it, Mike Hal?
Oh, God, no. It's dreadful.
If you, if you're considering doing your taxes for the first time using your computer or software or the internet or what have you, we've got tons and tons and tons of resources on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. Don't forget, if you are a Cox Cable subscriber, you have Cox digital or analog cable, either one, their video service. Our weekly television show on Cox Channel 9, the replay of episode 13, I believe it is at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We're discussing the new generation of printers that actually allow you to take your digital camera memory sticks and stick them right in there, so you can bypass the computer altogether if you want to print quickly from your digital camera sticks.
Oh, nice.
A little buy and sell tutorial on eBay, just give you general overview. Some of you have never ventured onto eBay and you're kind of afraid of it. We just figured we'd show you the basics of how to buy and sell on eBay. If you use spreadsheets, we got a really cool little quick tip for the autofill feature. Show you how to use your screensaver as a security device, and we discuss in general terms genealogy and computers and the internet. So if you get a chance, 4 o'clock this afternoon, we'll send out a little reminder through our newsletter subscriber base. Speaking of which, we have an email here from Bert. Bert says, your email newsletter is great.
Very good.
Very helpful, unlike most.
Wow. Yeah.
Is there any way you can transmit the URLs, that's the Universal Resource Locators, URL, that's basically the websites or the web addresses we use.
Correct.
You include as links so that we can just click on them instead of having to re-enter them. I know this sounds lazy, but it would eliminate re-entry errors and make the newsletter even more helpful. Bert, I see by your email address you're an AOL customer, and depending upon which version of AOL you're using, actually we do send that out, and there's really nothing special for us to send out. Anytime you send out something that starts with http://, it's actually your machine or your email program that has to do that translation. There's really nothing more for us to do. So if that's not happening, something's either been turned off or you have a really old version. The older versions of AOL's email system software did not do that for you automatically. The newer versions, I think from version 6 or 7 on, did. So really, it's really an issue in your machine, Bert. I actually have checked it in AOL. I've got some AOL accounts we use for our media interface, and it works fine in there. So it's something actually, Bert, in your machine. Of course, if you were not a subscriber of the newsletter, you would not have gotten all the cool stuff we have in here, like how to deal with those false error messages when you're out cruising on the internet. You get a little thing that says, your machine is too slow, or your internet connection is too slow, or you need memory, or you've been hit by a virus. How do you know when it's a real error message and when it's false? Well, we have those tips for you in this week's newsletter, and also it'll be published in the Monday edition of the East Valley Tribune. We've got a tip on sending email using your favorites menu. So the people that you send to a lot, you can actually put their email address in a special way in your favorites list, and it'll launch your email program and allow you to send it.
You can even put it on an icon on your desktop.
Yes.
Very neat.
Absolutely.
Cool trick.
We've got a link to an online site where you can send your thanks to the U.S. military. Write a little personal note, and it goes right to a large number of the military that is deployed out in the world at this point. A story about instant messaging teaching our kids very, very sloppy and poor writing skills. Some other software that allows you to simulate the worst-case scenario for the hopefully non-existent war. And, of course, a preview of what's going on today. So if you're interested in getting that newsletter in your mailbox once a week, and as well as our follow-up and our reminders and our virus warnings and all that stuff, it's all free. There's no spam. You can do so at datadoctors.com. There's all kinds of places to do that. All right. Let's go back to the phones here and see if we can help Dan. Let me check my time here. Okay. Dan, welcome to the Computer Corner. Thanks for holding.
Hi, thank you.
You have a humongous hard drive, yes?
Yes, it's an external Maxtor 80 gig hard drive. It's connected to the computer with a FireWire cable in the card.
Dude, you are geek.
Nice. Nice.
It's a geekathon over there, isn't it?
Well, let's
just explain a couple things. 88 gigabytes is very large in today, even in today's world. I mean, probably. How long have you had it?
I've had it for 2 years now.
Yeah. So when you bought it, it was like the ultimate hard drive, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you also connect through what's called FireWire. 1394. There's all kinds of different descriptions for it. FireWire is the fastest method of transmitting data from in this case, an external device. It's very good for video editing
USB
and that type of thing.
2.0 now is
close.
Getting up there.
It's close, so. But it's not as fast as FireWire. So, okay, so you've got this thing that's been working for 2 years, and?
And now the it doesn't seem to power up. The computer doesn't recognize that drive. The green power light comes on, but it flickers. It doesn't stay on solid. So I guess my question is, is there a way to recover the data that's on that drive if I purchase another, you know, hard drive to transfer it over to?
Well, let's break down the component itself. If it's an external hard drive, basically what it is a hard drive that normally would go inside of a computer, and they put it into a special housing, so it's got its own power supply and its own interface card. So there's a chance that the stuff that allows you to access the drive itself is what's failed on you, and not the drive itself.
Okay.
That power flickering back and forth could be the actual power supply. So the easiest thing, I mean, in our shop, basically what we would do is we would actually take that thing apart and extract the hard drive that's inside of that case.
Okay.
We'd extract that and then plug that inside of a regular computer and see if it's accessible. And that'll tell you really quick if you've got a drive failure or if it's just the stuff that's associated with it. And if your computer's fairly new, you probably have the proper interface. You can just plug it in and just leave it inside your computer internal, unless you really need it to be external.
Yeah, actually, I do need it external.
If that's the case, then you can buy external kits that have no hard drives in them. So once you diagnose the problem, hopefully it's the lesser of the two.
Just the power.
Just the actual stuff that allows you to access it externally, which would be that little kit.
I've tried changing power cables.
No. I'm talking the actual components inside that case. That's why you got to pull it apart and extract the hard drive out. Basically, narrow it down to, is it the drive or is it the
components?
Right. Now, we do data recovery as a business. We do it nationally. We've got hundreds and hundreds of drives we deal with on a regular basis. We can, and lots of companies out there can provide data recovery services to you, but if it's a mechanical failure of the drive, where the drive physically is not spinning properly or what have you, it can get very expensive. So you got to make sure that the data is really worth the expense.
Okay. And where would I? What location would I take it to actually have you folks check that?
You can as far as pulling it apart and seeing if it's the drive itself.
Right.
You can have that done anywhere.
Okay.
The physical if it requires recovery, they'll walk you through the process, and then you can decide whether you want to do that or not, and they'll transfer it to our recovery labs, which are in Tempe.
Okay.
But
great.
Hopefully, and again, this is something. How comfortable are you with the inside of your computer?
Pretty comfortable.
I mean, really, all you need to do is. There's a couple screws that you can take that thing apart and pull the hard drive out and plug it from the cables.
Okay.
And then, pop your case open. Obviously, turn everything off. Pop your case open, plug everything in, the power cable and the data cable.
See
fire
there.
It up, and have it boot from your normal hard drive.
Great. I'll try that first then.
One word of warning. If you're... Do you know about the master-slave settings on hard drives? I'm starting to think about all the possible things that can go wrong. I'm taking for granted what we know, and it's like, make sure you don't have both of them set at master. Make sure to set this external as a slave drive so that you have a chance of actually booting.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, good luck, man.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Yeah, hard drive crashes, folks, are really, really expensive if you have to have recovery done, and there's a very, very simple, inexpensive way to avoid it. That is
back up
your data.
Definitely.
You know what?
Always.
We've been saying that for 12, 15 years. It doesn't matter. People still don't do it, so we'll always have a
you
data recovery business.
You can't stop saying it. Oh, no.
It is the Computer Corner. Ken Colburn, Michael Valdivia. Brandon Disney's out on assignment, but we are talking computers and taxes, and it's time to take a break. We'll be back right after this.